So open them up to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Go to verse number 26. Galatians 5, verse number 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Our Father, I pray you'd bless us today. Guide and direct us as we talk about your word. And I pray that we would learn from it today, apply it to our lives, live it out for your sake and ours. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, one of the purposes of an introduction is to say something to grab the listener's attention. I'm going to do that today. Now, I probably already have done it, but I'm going to do what I was going to do anyway. Okay? I'm going to do something in a couple of minutes that I've never done before and will probably, again, I'm leaving the door open because I never know, I probably will never do again. So listen carefully. I became a teenager in the 1970s, not the 1870s. I was thinking about that, but 1970s is ancient now, isn't it? Thanks. In the 1970s, and back then, you couldn't walk into a room with a piano when someone would inevitably go to that piano and bang out this introduction. It was inevitable. Somebody would start it. You recognize the song? You didn't have to be a teenager in the 70s to recognize that song, probably. Most everybody does. Let me read the lyrics, because as I'm preparing for this sermon, And I generally start thinking about my sermon for Sunday on Monday. I know where I'm going, and that's the hardest part about preaching is where you're going next. I know where I'm going. We're in the book of Galatians, and so I start thinking about it. And I'm starting to work on outlines and work on thoughts, and I don't put anything on paper for a while, but I'm thinking about it. This song wouldn't leave my head. Okay, let me read the lyrics. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend, I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Please swallow your pride if I have things you need to borrow. For no one can fill those needs of yours that you won't let show. You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm going to need somebody to lean on. That's what the church is supposed to do. And I just think it's sad when the world has to remind us what we're supposed to be doing. A few years ago, we had two families in our church who thought these verses gave them the right to confront one another. One family would confront the other about some sin in their life. The next thing you know, the other family was confronting this family about sin in life. And they took great pride in their confrontations. They're both gone now. And this may sound bad, but I'm glad. It was addition by subtraction. Anybody know what that means? Okay, our entire church was better since they left. They had a spirit that drug everything down because they would not fulfill what God would have them to fulfill. You see, lean on me is what Paul is actually saying here. We need each other. If we are to live the Christian life, you need me and I need you and we need each other. It's just that simple. We must understand, if we are going to get to the finish line, and I'm not talking about losing your salvation because you can't lose your salvation, amen? I'm talking about finishing strong. If we're going to get to the finish line, we need each other. Amen. So let's walk through this passage and see that. Number one, extend a hand. Extend a hand. He says here in chapter 5, verse number 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The one another in verse number 26, we need to understand it's not all about me. Can we agree to that? It's not all about me. That's what vainglory is. Vainglory is, it's all about me. I need the glory. I need the attention. I need everyone to help me. I need everyone looking at me and trying to help me all the time. No, it's not about me. We all need to get that. We all need to understand that. It's not about getting that vainglory. And in so doing, we're provoking other people who want their own vainglory. There's nothing worse than 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 20, 100 people all wanting all the attention. Said, don't do that. Don't do that. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. In context here, a brother or sister has fallen. They're not walking in the Spirit and are either fulfilling the works of the flesh, which he's just talked about, or they're heading in that direction. So you see a brother or sister in Christ and they're not moving in the right direction. Ye who are spiritual need to seek to restore that person is what this verse is saying, what these verses are saying. Extend a hand. Someone has fallen. Reach out your hand. Let me help you back up again for the purpose of restoration. He says, ye who are spiritual. Now, I used to carry the idea of the spiritual person, was the stronger one. And you got two extremes here that all of a sudden come up with that, ye who are spiritual, in our minds. Remember, spiritual is walking in the Spirit. And you can have been saved 2.5 minutes and be walking in the Spirit, and you can be saved 30 years and be walking in the flesh. That's all your choice. Walking in the Spirit is your choice to submit to Jesus Christ, to obey the Word of God, to yield to the Spirit at all times. That's walking in the Spirit. And when we're doing that, we're spiritual. It's not the old idea of, well, I'm the more spiritual one, therefore I've got to go and confront that person. That's not it. Nor is it the other extreme. Well, I'm not very spiritual, so I shouldn't do anything. I shouldn't do anything. No, you who are spiritual means if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're living a life that is obedient to the Word of God, if you're living a life that is yielded to the Spirit of God, if you're living a life that is submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you are to go to that person and extend a hand. Let me help you up. We want to restore you and get you back in the right place. They have fallen. They are on the ground before you. Extend a hand. In Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37, you don't need to turn there. It's very familiar to you. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jewish man was on his way to on a business trip. He's robbed. He is beaten, and he is left for dead. Lying on the side of the road, a priest walks by and sees him. Does he extend a hand? No, his hand is dirty. I can't touch him. So he walks around him and keeps on going. A Levite comes along. Again, someone who's familiar with the law, someone who knows what's right and wrong, someone who knows what they're supposed to do. Another good, if you will, church member. I can't touch him. He's unclean. I don't get my hands dirty. Don't want to get down in the dirt and do that. Can't do that. So he walks around him and keeps on going. A Samaritan sees him this way. Now again, we got to pause right here and remember who the Samaritans were. The Samaritans were half-breed Jews. They had intermingled when the Assyrians took over the northern kingdom. And the Assyrians brought in other peoples because that's what the Assyrians did. They would mix everybody up all over their kingdom so that no one would join together, join any kind of forces to overturn them. And these people would end up intermarrying. The Samaritans were a group of people who were part Jew and part Gentile. And you want to talk about taboo. That was taboo. And the Jews hated the Samaritans. And the Samaritans hated the Jews for hating them. He comes along, a Samaritan, sees the Jew lying. He's going to die. What does he do? He extends a hand. He reaches down, he picks him up. Wow. I need to help. I want to help. Here's my hand. And he helps pick him up from that point for the purpose of restoration, to bring him back into a right relationship. That's what he does. He's going to pick him up and help restore you. That's what we are to do. Extend a hand that we might bring someone back into a right relationship with God. The word there, restore, means to make whole again. It was spoken of as broken bones that have been set in order that they might heal. We're to restore. We're to make them whole again in the spirit of meekness. Now, what a way to put it after he's just talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and one of them was what? Meekness. Meekness. Think about that for a moment. How do we define meekness last week? As strength under control. Think about this for a moment. This Jew is lying on the road, dying. And this Samaritan says, I could leave him there because he hates me. Why should I bother to help him? He hates me. I don't like him all that much either. But it's not how he acts. In the spirit of meekness, he says, let me help you. Amen. Never a holier-than-thou attitude. He extends a hand. You see, you may need one day. I may need one day. We may need someone to come along and just, hey, can I help? And they extend the hand and they help us stand back up again for that purpose of restoration that we might be whole. Amen. It's not about confrontation. But hey, let me help. Lean on me. Number two, employ a shoulder. Employ a shoulder. He says in verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. The picture here is the extending of the hand, but that might not be enough. You might help that person back to his feet, but his feet might not work. His legs might not be strong enough to hold him up. So as you're picking him up by the hand, you take that same hand, throw it over your shoulder, and you give that somebody a crutch, you, to lean on. Wow. That's what Paul is saying here. Extend a hand and employ a shoulder to continue to bear one another's burdens. Oh, the job is never finished with the extended hand. We like to think so. I helped somebody. And we helped them up, but they couldn't keep going. They couldn't walk on their own. Throw their arm round your shoulder and help them to walk. Even if it means limp, back to the place of recovery. Back to the place of restoration. Here we go back to the Good Samaritan. He goes, he sees this man dying, he helps him back up on his feet. He can't walk. Helping him back on his feet's not enough, so he's got to employ a shoulder. He brings him over to his animal, his beast of burden, and somehow gets him up there. He takes him to an inn. He binds up this man's wounds. He takes care of them. He's trying to get him back to the place where he's restored again. And then he's got to leave because he's got a trip to go on too. And he gives the innkeeper some money. Take care of him. I'm coming back through. If it costs you more than this, I'll pay for the rest. Wow. This man is showing us exactly what Galatians 6:1 is all about. What 6:2 through 5 are all about. Here, lean on me. Wow. There's two verses here, verse number 2 and verse number 5, and they kind of look from the first glance as they might be contradictory. Verse number 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Verse 5 says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." How do these things two connect? How do these two connect? How do they work together in all of this? Well, he says, bear one another's burdens. And some burdens can be shared. Sometimes we need to help people. We can share their burdens. We can lift them up. We can extend a hand, employ a shoulder, and getting them back to where they need to be. That's our job. We can do that. But there are other burdens that must be born alone, that you've got to do for yourself because no one can help you with those things. Your responsibilities, no one can help fulfill what you only can do. Because one day, you're going to stand before God. What verse number 4 is all about. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. We're all going to stand before God. And God's not going to look at your life and say, and you're not going to be able to say, well, so-and-so didn't do it. You're going to bear your own burdens. let me give you one of my wife's pet peeves. You ready for this? When some young couple comes running up and the husband uses the words, "We're pregnant." No, you're not. She is. Okay, my wife had 5 kids. We were not pregnant any of those times. She was every one. She had to bear that burden. Oh, I did what I could to help when I figured out I needed to. But she had to bear it. She had to have those kids. She bore that burden. I was next to her every step of the way, but there was nothing I could do to help. Breathe. Big help, isn't it? Doesn't work that way. It's not. That's the idea here. There are some things you can do to help people. There are some things you got to do on your own. That's what he's talking about here. Because one day you'll stand before God, and when you did it for God and for the right reasons in the right way, he will reward you, and there will be nothing like that ever takes place. So bear your own burden. Do what only you can do. He said, extend a hand, employ a shoulder, and then number three, edify a brother. Edify a brother. Verse number six says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now again, we're looking at the Bible in context. A lot of times we see this and draw there. The word communicate there means to share or to give. And it says, see, the people need to take care of the pastor. That's not what the context here is. Context here is someone who has fallen and needs to lean on somebody else. Once again, the job is not finished with an extended hand or employing a shoulder. There is a sharing. That's what the word communicate means, of all good things. Okay? Teaching. Teacheth, teacher is brought up in this idea. There needs to be the word of God brought in to edify and build up. Because we're not talking about someone who's just fallen down. We're talking about someone who's fallen down in a trespass, in a fault. They've either sinned or they're heading towards sin. And so they need more than simply help, don't go there, don't do that, stop that. They need the word of God brought into the situation to help build them up so they can fight the temptation on their own and do what is right. Amen. So you get the picture here. You helped them up, you shoulder them, you help them along, and you're talking about, you're sharing the word of God with this person. And there's nothing better you can do than to share the word of God with somebody. Amen. To take them by the arm, take them by the shoulder, give them the word of God, and say, here is why we need to do what's right. And it's in our best interest to do what's right. I see the road you're heading on. I see the direction you're heading on. And it hurts me. And you will be hurt if you head down this road. Don't go there. Let me help you. Here's what the word of God says about this entire situation. Please listen. The teacher and the pupil in their Christian walk, side by side, arm around shoulder, here's what God wants from us. Here's what God wants us to do. Amen. So let me ask you, who are you sharing the word of God with? You, who are being taught, are you in turn teaching? Because you'll never learn something as well as when you have to teach it. When you have to teach it, you learn it. Because you have to explain it. And you know, a question might come up here and there, and I got to answer questions, so I better know what I'm talking about. That's what all of us need to do. We need to be teaching all of the time. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 5. Hebrews, chapter number 5. Verse number 11. Hebrews, chapter 5, verse number 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The writer of the book of Hebrews here is saying, you should have grown to the point where you can teach the Word of God, but you still need the ABCs. You still need to be walked through what you know. You're still using milk. You're still a baby. He's saying, grow up. Get yourself to a place where you know the Word of God and you're feeding yourself the Word of God and you can help somebody else learn the Word of God. Amen. That's what he's saying here. Grow up and become a teacher. Don't stay a baby who needs to be taught all of the time. Grow up. And we need to do that. Amen. And Paul in Galatians 6 is saying, lean on me. And when we notice someone else in a predicament, we need to go to them and say to them, lean on me. Maybe you're thinking, I don't have a friend like that, someone to lean on. Well, two thoughts. Number one, be a friend like that. Be a friend like that. Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18. Proverbs, chapter number 18. Proverbs 18, go to verse number 24. A man that hath friends must show himself what? Friendly. You know, if you want to have friends, what do you need to be? I mean, friendly. You need to be a friend. You know, the Bible has a lot to say, especially the book of Proverbs, about friends and what friends are like and what friends are for, but it never talks about how to get a friend. Not once does it say, here's how to get a friend. What does it teach us? How to be a friend. And the man who is a friend will never lack for friends. Amen. When I say man, I'm using that as the generic, unpolitically correct way of saying all of us. Men and women, boys and girls, of all ages, or either genders. Not anymore. Pastor, that's politically incorrect. I've been accused of that before. A man that hath friends must show himself what? Friendly. Be a friend. That kind of friend. Lean on me. Second thought, if you've got nobody else, Jesus will be that friend for you. He already did that at the cross. He extended his hands. He employed his shoulders. And he died in your place. That you might be lifted up out of sin and set on a right path with God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:24 again. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Wow. If you haven't learned you can lean on Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you can lean on Jesus Christ. He will always be there for you. One more verse. It's in the book of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. I should say one more passage because there's two verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The person you cannot lean on is yourself. We're not smart enough. We don't know the beginning from the end. We don't know what God knows. We only know right here, right now. That's it. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in your understanding. Don't lean on what you can figure out and what you can do. Trust in God. Amen. Acknowledge. I can't figure it out. I can't do it. But in God, with God's grace, as Paul writes, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can lean on him. And the fact is, those who are leaning on him have the true strength to say to somebody else, lean on me. It's the only way you get that strength. It's the only way that happens. Yeah? We need to be that friend. Because there's going to be a time when we need that friend. Lean on me. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all you've done. Thank you for this time together to share in your word. I pray that you would now help us make decisions that we would be that kind of friend and know we've got to lean on you for all things. I pray that you would work in us and through us right now as we make decisions, and I pray that we'll be changed because of the decisions we make right now to lean on you. Guide, direct, and bless. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, what decision does God want you to make? What does he want you to do? What has he spoken to your heart about? First of all, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know for certain you're going to heaven? Do you know for certain your sins are forgiven? Are you leaning on Christ for your salvation? Because as Paul has said through the entire book of Galatians, you cannot gain it on your own. You cannot work it out no matter what you do. You've got to lean on Christ for salvation. You say, Pastor, I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior. I know my sins are forgiven. I know I'm going to heaven. And as a testimony of that fact, I'm raising my hand. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. Put your hands up. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 That's great. Amen. 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 Christian, we've been left here for a reason. To help each other. To live in community, bearing one another's burdens. Helping each other where we can. Oh yeah, there's burdens we have to bear on our own. We need to extend a hand, employ that shoulder, edify a brother, continue drawing other people toward our Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I need to be that kind of friend. Pastor, pray for me. Just slip your hand up. Amen. 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 Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. Amen. God bless you. I want to make sure. Amen. God bless you. I'm that kind of friend. Amen. 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 Maybe you're here. And you say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't know for certain that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that my sins have been forgiven. Pastor, I don't know. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. We love you here. We want to pray for you. Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Just slip your hand up, put it back down. Please understand, while I'm going to pray for you if you raise your hand, my praying for you will not save you. My praying for you won't do anything for you spiritually other than maybe help open your heart up to God. You've got to make that decision. You need to come to Christ on your own. You need to fall before him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, he will be, but you got to do it. But this is kind of a first step. Yes, Pastor, I have a need. I'm not sure about my soul's salvation. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I know I don't want to go to hell. Help me to know how to get to heaven. Pray for me. I will do that. Anyone like that? Pastor, pray for me. I don't know. I'm not sure. Just slip your hand up, put it back down. Our Father, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you so much for working in our hearts as the message was preached. I pray that you would now bring us to a place of decision where we will be what we're supposed to be. Help us not let the world to remind us how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to act, because we're already doing it. Lord, I pray that you'd guide and direct and bless in every decision. Again, we ask that we would be changed because of the decisions we've made. Guide and direct us. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Let's all stand. If you need to make a decision for Christ, now's the time to do it. We're going to take just a moment and allow you to talk to Jesus Christ. Allow you to make that commitment to be that friend and to lean on him always. If you're not sure you're saved, I'll be waiting for you right down front. Come talk to me. We'll show you from the Bible how you can know that you are saved, how you can know that heaven is your home. Right now, as we wait just a couple of minutes, quietly, nothing else going on, talk to God.